would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to another episode of St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward, and hopefully this week I will set the date correctly on YouTube so that I don't tell everybody it's coming out on Monday night at 9 o'clock, and then they go to it and it's not there until Tuesday, and I didn't realize until Tuesday. But anyway, here we are on YouTube, also audio version on local FM on Wednesday, along with all the back episodes. You can listen to the audio version on johnforward.podbean.com. Subscribe to the page, like the video, share it if you think anybody else would like it. But anyway, still in the basement. I think the rules have been relaxed here in New Brunswick, but I have not done any carpooling or fishing or hunting. Don't have a bubble family. Same old, but, still, I don't think anybody's sick left in New Brunswick. There might be some people that we don't know about or asymptomatic, but, doing pretty good. I was thinking about doing a No Jokes Barred online Zoom comedy show. I've participated in a couple of different ones run by different people, and I've kind of seen what works and what doesn't, and I think I can put on a good show. It's not as good as if it was going to be live, but it's just a matter of can I get people to watch it, and can I get people to do it, is the main question now. So anyway, that's on the back burner, I guess, or front burner. All the burners are in the same place. It doesn't matter. I don't even know what day it is, but they also as part of the relaxing of the rules, they're allowed to have drive-in religious services. So I'm wondering if we could do like a drive-in No Jokes Barred show. That's a possibility. I don't know where we could do it or if anybody would show up for that. It kind of, with Zoom, you can at least have audio and you can hear people laughing, but if everybody's in their cars, unless they all have their windows down, I don't know. We can't see or hear anybody, so I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Back in November 2018, we had a No Jokes Barred in a parking lot show uptown, which I would really like to do something like that right now, but that would almost certainly get shut down by the police. And I don't know if anybody else would be willing to risk getting fined or whatever the consequences of that would be. Finding people to be on that show and to actually show up and watch would probably be even more difficult than the Zoom thing. Last one we did was in November, so it was pretty cold out. It's a little bit better weather-wise now, but I don't know how you'd even, you can't really advertise that on the D-Lo. If you put it on Facebook, then that's just leaving it up for the Karens to tattle on us and shut the whole thing down before it starts. Still lots of panic on social media. Even though we haven't had any new cases in a while, and I think all the people that we know about have gotten better. People are still losing their minds on Facebook about even reopening a little bit. Like, they're acting like we're opening a big Pandora's box and that this is going to be a big thing. But I don't know. I'm really not worried about it. Ideally, they'd do it all tomorrow, but I'm okay with a piece by piece, see how it goes. I think it will be fine though. Because the whole point of the shutdown wasn't to lock everything down until the entire world is cured of COVID or they come up with a vaccine or something. We talked about flattening the curve so that we don't have a big rush on the hospitals and everything go crazy all at once like what happened in Italy. But I think we're past that. The curve's been flattened. The point was never necessarily for less people to get sick. It was just less people all at once. And that was with the assumption that, you know, tens of thousands or millions of people were going to get it and die. But, you know, they've moved the goalposts a bit since then. It's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's still bad, but not nearly as bad as it was supposed to be. The fatality rate is like 1% ish, is the best estimate right now. And, yeah, it's not going to be a big thing. It's, you know, we'll never know what would have happened if we took the Sweden route and just said, you know, if you have pre-existing conditions or if you're old, you should probably quarantine, but everybody else is pretty much business as usual. We don't know what would have happened here if that's what happened, but I don't know. We can see what happened in Sweden, but we'll see how it goes. I think things will probably not explode as we relax the stuff, but we'll wait and see. If I'm wrong, if they start opening up a few things and there is a huge spike and there's a problem, then, you know, I'll eat my words. But I don't know. The thing I'm most concerned about is just whether or not you think this worked or not, or whether it's a good idea, or whether all this stuff has been justified, is kind of beside the point. I'm really surprised. There's not many people talking about how, you know, fundamental rights have been violated. And, you know, I'm not a big person of, well, this piece of paper says that I've got the right to such and such. Like, I never signed that piece of paper. I did not participate in any of that. I don't vote. But our politicians, our government, those people for sure are kind of held accountable by laws and, you know, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So, you know, if anybody should follow that thing, it's probably them. And certainly, and most of the people that, you know, that are the strongest supporters of this shutdown are huge, big government fans. So that piece of it has escaped people is really concerning for me. I mean, like, just basic rights include, like, the right to associate with other people, peaceful assembly, to move around. I don't go to church, but, you know, that's in there too, that you can practice your religion. And I don't know if, probably, maybe if you read it, there might be some sort of sub, well, you know, this all applies unless, you know, something important happens and we can't, I don't know. If there is an asterisk in there that gives certain circumstances where people's rights and freedoms can be violated, it shouldn't be in there. Those, in theory, if you believe in government, that stuff is in there four times, especially like this. When they want to say, yeah, we don't like that rule anymore, that's when they're there. It's kind of locked in. Ours is a little bit different than what's going on in the United States, but just one of the things that they're throwing out the window is the right to a quick and speedy trial. And there's a bunch of people locked up and there's a bit of a bottleneck for the courts. And they've just decided, you know what, never mind that, right? Because, you know, we would rather lock up innocent people for 6 months waiting for a trial than to maybe let a guilty person go. But, you know, those things are in place for exactly the times when the government is more likely to want to overlook them. And this is one of those times, and nobody seems to care. I've seen a couple articles going around about how the language rights freedom that's in the charter has been violated, because that's the priority. We've got limited supplies, and there are people mad because they don't have bilingual labels, because they would apparently rather not have the stuff than to have it only in English. And, you know, that's in there too. So be upset about it. But for that to be the one thing that people are upset about is odd. Whatever you think of the situation now, Pandora's box has already been opened as far as this kind of thing goes. What happens next time they decide to do some crazy semi-dictatorial move for a less good reason? They've already got a practice run in here and everybody's pretty much on board for it, and there's tons of people that are, you know, calling the cops on people that don't go along with it. Next time they have something else that, you know, it might be a less good reason, then they've already set the precedent. And just because, you know, that's how the government works. That's how generally most people who went to 12 years of government school work. They're big on doing something instead of nothing, which is kind of the default position. And, you know, it doesn't matter if that's something that you're doing actually accomplishes its intended goal or not, or if it's a miserable failure, makes everything worse. Everybody just feels nice knowing that we did something that seemed like it might have been a good idea, because it just makes people more comfortable. It's the same reason that, you know, people would rather say, I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, instead of just, I don't know, maybe nothing happens, maybe something happens, it'll work itself out. But, you know, and the government certainly doesn't want to do nothing, because then if that goes bad, then everybody gets mad. If doing nothing goes well, then the government just proves that they're useless, and that, you know, if they weren't there at all, things probably would have worked themselves out just fine. But if the government does something and it fails miserably, or it makes things worse and has the exact opposite effect of what it's supposed to be, that's fine too, because then the government can say, hey, look at this brand new problem we have to solve, and then they'll go and screw that thing up, and then they'll fix that screw up, and so on. So just this last week, Trudeau announced that there's 1,500 different kinds of guns that are illegal now. There's like a 2-year grace period for anybody that still has them, but they're coming for your guns, paranoid gun people. Yeah, even if you already have them, there's some talk about you can apply to have it grandfathered in or whatever. But, you know, if you have a store, you can't sell these things anymore. And, you know, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, what are they planning? They want to disarm the citizens so that they can come into our homes. Maybe that's being paranoid. But it's probably because of the Nova Scotia shooting, which was a tragedy. It's never good when people die. But so this is kind of a knee-jerk reaction to that. You know, everybody's been watching the reality show of that go on the news. And, you know, people are, something needs to be done. Doesn't matter if it's something that would have solved the problem or not, but we have to do something. Was the shooter using guns that he wouldn't have been able to get if this law existed? Best not to think about it. Same as, you know, all the other, well, we need gun laws because of all these shootings and such, and you look at whether or not this law would have solved any of those problems, and that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But I just think the timing of it, it's good on the one hand because, you know, people are expecting action after the big Nova Scotia shooting, but also, like, I don't own a gun myself, but I understand that gun owners might be a little bit more paranoid than the average person. So announcing this right in the middle of, like, prime time for conspiracies and paranoia, and, like, the government is just inching closer and closer to fascism, and now they're coming for our guns, seems like bad timing for it. So there's lots of gun people that, you know, they're worried that something bad's gonna happen, and they might be right, probably not, but I don't know. And they might also be worried about you know, a repeat. I don't know if there's much of this going on in Canada, but in the States there's lots of protests with you know, guys with guns that are protesting the lockdowns, and maybe they they want to crack down on that. They don't want somebody bringing an AR-15 to a protest. But, you know, these protests have people with guns, but I haven't heard about anybody being shot at any of them. I haven't heard about any violence at anything, any of these things at all, which is not the case for a lot of protests that aren't with armed people. But yeah, people on Facebook showing the pictures of the rednecks with the rifles and be like, look at these guys. And they seem upset that the police aren't busting more skulls. Because, you know, that's what they do. Like, you know, Occupy Wall Street or Black Lives Matter type thing or any of that other stuff. It's generally, we expect that the police are going to be bad dudes about it, and they're gonna, you know, beat people up, and there's gonna be stuff smashed, and there's gonna be chaos and stuff. But when people show up to the protests with guns, other than the fact that there are people holding guns, and that's a good picture that you can take, relatively peaceful situation, and you know, the police are less likely to pepper spray you in the face if you're holding a rifle than if you're just some kid complaining about something. So it's not because these guys are white. It's because they have guns. And, you know, I don't think we should be open carrying rifles around town. But if we're in a situation where the police can just beat the shit out of you for protesting a thing, and that can be avoided by holding a rifle, might as well do something instead of nothing. But, you know, I've been thinking about this whole thing, and maybe I should get a gun. I don't know if that's a wise idea or not, but a couple of days ago, I found a guy on the dark web through some connections, and we had a bit of a conversation about it, just to give me some more information and, you know, well-reasoned arguments for it. We did have this conversation before the gun ban was announced, so that doesn't come up, but you know, anyway, let's hear that after this.
Yo, a lot of suckers out there might not like what I got to say, and to be honest, I don't give a fuck. But if censorship keeps moving the way it is, the future of hip-hop might sound like this.
Is this fucking mic on or what, man?
Government-approved rap. Love the police. Government-approved rap. Pay taxes. Government-approved rap.
Trust the president.
Politicians are honest. Government-approved rap. Government-approved rap.
Trust the president.
Government-approved rap.
Love the police.
Pay taxes.
Love the police. Trust the president. Trust the president.
Government-approved rap.
Love the police.
Politicians are honest. Government-approved rap. Pay taxes. Government-approved rap.
Love the police.
Government-approved rap. Pay taxes. Government-approved rap. Pay taxes. Politicians are honest. Government-approved rap.
Love the police. Trust the president.
Government-approved rap. Politicians are honest. Government-approved rap. Pay taxes. Government-approved rap. Government-approved rap. Government-approved rap.
Love the police.
Government-approved rap.
Trust the president. Imagine that.
All right, welcome back to the show. I've got Dare Blizzard just waiting to join in on the Zoom meeting, and hopefully you can help me get this sorted out. So let me just connect over to him. Dare, is that you?
Are you on mute?
No. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Should I be hearing you this loud?
As loud as it needs to be, as long as you can. Can you hear me okay?
I'm in the Hyundai here. Second. Okay. Can you give me a tester there?
Test, check, check, 1, 2.
Yep, you're coming in. You're good. John, how are you?
Not too bad. Just had a, you know, with the world the way it is, I hear that you're a man that can help me out with the things that I need.
John, it's a scary, terrible time, a time of great distancing, a time of great strife, a time for a person to take stock of what is theirs,
yeah,
and how to hold it and how to best protect it. That's exactly the kind of thing that you need when you know that communities are struggling and they're being tested by things that are challenging an entire world. You need, as an individual, to take stock of what you got. And I'm the guy that can help you put stock into taking stock, as it were.
Yeah, well, and also like what I've got and what I might need, and you know how to necessitate that kind of thing. It's not so much the social distancing I'm worried about. It's when the people come together that I think is my main concern.
Oh yeah. So you know that I do a basic set of personal protections. I provide services. I provide equipment. The expertise and the advice comes free, kind of like an owner's manual. That is, I'm the owner's manual, but also the support system or devices. So if there's something that you need, something you want, you know, we can talk about that, and I can deliver something for you, hopefully.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure what I need exactly. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. And I'm not even sure entirely what I'm going to need it for, because there's... Yeah. Like, to be honest, no matter how it goes, I think having some form of protection is going to be a good idea.
No. The first thing you're going to want to do is to protect yourself against other humans. Mm-hmm. I think if history has shown us anything, that the greatest threat we face as individuals are the humans around us. If you watch the shows like your Walking Dead's, your Walking Dead spinoffs, mm-hmm. If you listen to anything zombie related and you use that as a basis for building strategy, which is something I like to do because it's familiar and easily accessible, then you know that humans can be turned in a number of different ways against your personal interests. And you need a personal device that's going to protect you, shield you, give you the power of adapting and controlling those human influences that you otherwise couldn't control. And I think a weapon is a great way to do that. I think people should be more armed. If I could arm everyone, it'd be like buying everyone a Coke, except it would be a gun. That would be best for the world.
Yeah, I think that's what's best for the world. And They say that, you know, if you take guns away, then there'd be less violence in the world. But that's just like, you can't say if you cut off everybody's hands that there'd be no more fist fights. You have to weigh out the options.
Yeah, all of the amounts of peace that we've achieved to date have been in a world with guns. So removing guns from the equation to me doesn't seem to make sense. Any of the great pieces we've achieved have been at gunpoint, and I don't see any reason to change that formula. And it's, we're informed by the global view, but we have to use that to inform our personal view. And I think a person needs to know, what kind of piece of equipment am I going to have to give me the personal security that if I need to put down another human being, I have the power to do that safely, effectively, and I mean, conveniently. Let's face it, you don't want a lot of cleanup on these kind of things. You want a lot of justification. You want a tool that's going to work well. You want it to be effective and efficient and at a good price point. And these are all the things that our protection can help with.
Yeah, well, for the sake of any of my my listeners that might be kind of in the stone age of, you know, pre-gun times, but they still need protection, do you have like cannons and cannonballs and stuff like that? Is that an option?
Well, we do have a branch of Blizzard Home Security that deals in the cannoning, the canonical. It's a whole stream of personal devices. I'm not gonna lie to you. Cannons have been on a bit of a downturn
in the
market just because people prefer, it's all about mobility nowadays. People want things that they can pick up, they can carry them with them. We tried a line of portable cannons This is back a few years ago now when I was when we were developing a new product. It was we had a little bit of money that throwing around. We were like, let's see if we can. You know, sometimes people bring back like 70s music. It's going to be popular again.
Yeah.
We bring back cannons, and it didn't take. People, we couldn't find an effective way to get them into people's pockets. They were difficult to mount on car dashboards. People didn't find the convenience of smaller cannonballs to be any more convenient than a larger cannonball. There's just no way to make an effective cannonball. And you got the whole priming process of the fuse, and you need a second person with you to shove the thing in the end of the cannon to do. And then of course, people doing this up and down the street,
yeah,
not particularly attractive.
Well, so you know how hipsters are these days. They like that nostalgic cannon feel. You know, sometimes they say that the violence is warmer, I think, coming from a cannon.
I argue with the people who say that a cannon death is classic and the modern gun death does not compare to it. There's something a little too clean. The thing about the old cannon deaths is that you could really feel the ripples of vibration as the ball would impact a human body.
Yeah.
You feel that. And with modern bullets, I mean, yes, okay, they're clean, they're digitally crafted, I get that, but where's the feeling? You don't have that pop, that ting, the hisses, the little hisses and noises that you get from a cannon. Anyway, it's a path that I went down, and we haven't been back to it since. I have some old stuff in stock. I'm not going to think you're going to be personally interested in that. Okay. I think you're going to want to look at maybe a modern weapon that we might be able to craft to your needs.
Well, I think a gun is the natural evolution. It is a hand cannon. I think they've called it that in
Darwin wrote about, he talked about the variety of guns and how they naturally evolved into all the shapes, and how you went from an arquebus to a musket to a rifle. That was a natural.
What is an arquebus? Can we
That was
just for the sake of the listeners that might not be as well versed on this.
Sure. I have a wide history. It's something I carry around with me. The arquebus was like it's a clay pot that would be filled with explosive materials.
Okay.
And a bamboo pipe would be attached to it, such that when the clay pot was ignited with a feather, or a piece of canvas twine, or some wig hairs, wigs being as popular as they were at the time, they were used for multiple purposes, including wadding. Anyway, that was fired. I mean, all the physics are there in an arquebus, but it doesn't have the refinement of the modern rifle.
Yeah, no, also, I don't have a lot of wig hairs on hand anyway, so I don't think that would be a good option for me.
Let me tell you, while I am, I would love to bring back the arquebus, because I am all about the classics. I respect them, I admire them. It's just I have to build a market, and if I have to take the Hyundai around, it's easier for me to fit 32 MK32s in the back seat of the Hyundai as opposed to four or five arquebi. And the arquebi are spilling materials all over, because those clay pots are beautiful, but they spill everywhere. And then I get people asking me, is this a weapon or is it a bong? And I just don't have the time for that. It's not good modern business sense. I don't think there's a market for the arquebus anymore.
Well, do you have any other weapons that could double as a bong? I think that might be convenient.
Oh, so you think that you might not be looking at the effectiveness of like a handgun or things of that?
It could be. What I'm thinking is, you know, I'm not going to be shooting people every day. So in the downtime, you want to be able to.
I think you're underestimating what your needs may be.
Okay.
There could very well, given the political climate that we're in, there could be a need. I mean, you don't want to underestimate. You could, I say, plan for the worst.
Right.
You could be shooting and if current liberal governments continue the way they are, you could be shooting 1 to 3 people a day, and that would just be, you know, they talk about the new normal after Corona. I think the new normal is going to involve a number of things, including a higher overall death rate as people protect what is theirs from the oncoming, what we expect to be the hordes.
Right.
So look, I think if you have a series of weapons and protections, I think I could see you with a some sort of projectile firing device, whether that's a handgun, a rifle, a four-barreled shotgun, something of that kind. I could see you adding guillotine systems. These are becoming very popular now.
Wait, how do you attach a guillotine to a gun? That seems inconvenient. Oh,
the guillotine gun is a very new concept. It's very French.
Do you like shoot the blade out and chop people's heads off?
That would be a good idea. Now, that wasn't our first way of doing it. It's a long handle, and it's attached with the guillotine at the front. I wish I could sketch it out for you here on the Zoom, but it's anyway, there's a large blade at the front of which the rifle sits in, and it is attached, and you kind of push it around on a roller. So the guillotine is constantly in front of you, like a bit of a SWAT wall shield, if you know the concept of what I'm talking about. You fire the weapon when you think, let's say you're at a convenience store and you think someone has taken an item off the shelf that you were looking to get. You fire your weapon. This would be a normal circumstance.
Just like a warning shot.
Hopefully. Well, I mean, I think if you want to warn someone, the best thing to do is put it through them. They're going to know.
Yeah, well, that way you don't waste a bullet. So.
Well, this is it, John. But the thing you got to understand is that would you consider it a warning? The thing is, if you fire away from them, above them, to the side, what do they call that? Across the bow in naval terms? I'm not a naval person, but I think that's the term. If you do a warning shot, they may not know that it's them, because remember, we're going to be living in a world where more people are going to be firing on a regular basis, right?
Yeah. Or the other person might just think that I'm a bad shot and therefore not a threat.
Another very good point, John. Another very good point. So my recommendation in this future scenario would just be, if the person has slighted you at the convenience store shelf, let's say you're pulling a shirt of your size and it's the last one off the rack at Costco.
Yeah, I buy all my t-shirts at convenience stores. So this is very appropriate for me.
Yep, absolutely. So if any of those circumstances happen, I say fire first. No one who's last gets to fire because you're under the guillotine. So the bullet goes through them. Now, we also sell bullets, because you were mentioning how will they know it's from me. We can do customized bullets from you that have small audio chips in them that, as the bullet goes through, it activates the chip and it will say, "You've been shot by John Forward." And it'll sound from inside them or against the wall, depending on if it goes through or not. That I can't promise. I'm not a miracle worker. And hopefully what will happen in that situation, if you know how to use the weapon properly, they will fall forward, the head will fall into a gate, and then you'll pull a second trigger at the back of the gun, the blade falls, and then you've got your guillotine. And let me tell you, no one, no matter what they say about flak jackets and Kevlar, no one is getting up from a rifle, a successful rifle guillotine. That is a... it's cumbersome, but very effective if used exactly properly.
Well, about the audio chip, though, my concern is that, like, in the off, maybe, like, fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent that I shoot somebody in the convenience store, and it turns out just through some legal maneuvering that it's not justified, do I want the bullet to say out loud, "This person was shot by John Forward"?
Oh, no, this is all going to be justified, and... inside the bullet is a tiny contract that, as it goes through the blood or viscera, a tiny amount of it is genetically encoded on a contract saying, you basically, what it's DNA evidence to say they understood that they had slighted you, that you're John Forward, and that you have exercised your legal right to protect.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I just go to court and be like, you know, this scumbag has a contract signed in blood.
And let's not forget the world that we'll be living in when this happens. Courts will be used to it. If anything, they'll be thanking you. They'll be like, "Thank you, John Forward, for helping to grease the wheels of our slow justice system."
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of complaints about t-shirt hoarding about this guy, and you just did us a big favor.
oh, there's going to be, you're going to see hoarding of all sorts when Corona's off. Right now, people are at home. No one knows this or thinks about it because everyone's very concerned about vaccines, and I think that's great. But no one is talking about people are not buying T-shirts. And when you cage a person and you do not allow them to behave in their normal way, clearly psychological research tells us that people are going to overcompensate upon release. So I would expect a lot of T-shirt hoarding. I expect you're going to see a lot of murders in coffee shops as people begin to reline up, begin to buy things like mugs. Magnets for refrigerators, they're going to be huge. I wouldn't go to buy one in the first month. I don't think you can get enough bullets with you. But look, I mean, that's going to be just you encountering things in the public. Then you have your whole, what are you going to do at home to protect yourself against the hordes of people who are going to want to clearly come into your place of residence?
Yeah, well, we talked about, you know, like pop culture stuff like The Walking Dead and spinoffs of The Walking Dead and the spinoffs of the spinoffs. But what are you doing at your home?
What am I doing in my home?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have a very specialized system, John. Some people might call it a little fussy. But I am a protectionophile, so I like I have very special things. I have my exterior walls are completely electrified, and that's just for starters. Right. So I wear rubber gloves around the house. So the Corona thing came in there like rubber gloves. I'm like, buddy, I'm ahead of you already. So anytime you're going to touch a gate on the way into my house, you're going to touch the doorknob, all of that electrified. If you're not wearing the rubber gloves that I provide, at my mailbox at the front of the driveway, then I don't know you and you don't know me. So clearly that's on you.
So do you have a stock of gloves or do you have one of those like vacuum tube situations where somebody buzzes in?
A 500 pack from Costco.
Okay.
The beautiful, beautiful rubber gloves. So soft on your hands because I'm considerate. People are my house, I want them to wear a soft glove. I don't want them to touch my walls and be electrified. Now, John, I've also imported some very, very nice. This is from the Bahamas. This is a product they make, small blue glass bottles that I've shattered into little shards. And with a specialized all-season glue, I've placed on all the ridges of walkways, handholds, countertops, windowsills, basically anywhere. It looks from the distance, all you see is this beautiful blue shine. Right. If you, I've tinged it all with a special chemical pesticide, which will burn a human being. And if you're not treated, it'll cause you death within 24 hours. So I think I'm giving the intruder a chance, and I think I'm giving passerbys something to see as well.
Yeah, it's a good lesson to everyone. And, you know, and like you said, you've got the rubber gloves. That protects against the glass shards and the poison and all that, too.
You can be protected and also part of your neighborhood. I'm contributing to the look. At night, my house looks like kind of the, what do they call those lights? And the northern lights?
Yeah.
That's sort of my house. They're sort of
that's nice.
It's like people have called it an EMP glow. I'm not a physicist, so I don't know if that's what it is. There's certain sparking that happens in the rain, but I think personal protection is enough to take extra steps. Do I care about myself and my family? Now, I'm a single person, so my family is me, so I guess, yes, I do.
Protecting yourself is protecting your family.
Well, I mean, in the world we're living in, if you're not thinking of yourself and yourself only, what are you doing? The best way to take care of everyone else is to massively take care of yourself.
Yeah, because like one person taking care of a group of five is just inefficient. If each person takes care of themselves, that's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, I see people walking around with families and I'm like, whatever. You clearly don't care about your personal protection. All of those children are weak spots.
Right.
They could all turn on you. They could all invite things into your house. If you care about personal protection, you know, you got to be careful about having those extraneous outside elements in your circle. That's the first thing to do right there. Eliminate your family. That would be a very good, effective step towards personal protection.
Well, do you think you should display their bodies in your yard? You know, like, people don't know that it was your family. They might just think that these were trespassers.
I'm not going to lie. on, I mean, certainly that would deter, I think, at the very least, it's going to deter other members of your family from coming over.
Yeah. I think, no one's I think, safe to, like, run- steal my t-shirt.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
You're listening to 107.3 St. John Ford Radio.
Creepier.
Hi. You're listening to 107.3 St. John Ford Radio.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
Four reasons come to mind why your motherfucking brother is hard to find. He been walking on the streets and fucking with mine. Stupid punk can't fuck with a mastermind. See, I never take a step on a Compton block or a lay without the AK ready to pop. Cause them punk motherfuckers in black and white ain't the only motherfuckers I got to fight. I think it's better to be telling the facts than cuffed up and jacked and fucked up with your niggas looking at you going, God damn. Cause it's the city, and for you to survive, a nigga gotta be a gangster. And I'm a nigga you can't remove. So got a lot of motherfuckers for trying to prove to they homies they can hang by dealing with me. But once again, in the end, that DEAT, I never did time on a murder yet. Cause I relax and back to a job and jet. Yo, I know you understand my flow. So here we go in death row. Come let a motherfucker know. A motherfucker who's known for carrying gaps and kick raps that make snaps, adapts to any environment that I'm located at. If you see me on a solo move, believe that I'm strapped. 44 Trey 8 or AK-47. Cause slowly but surely, see you on a stairway to heaven. Just put my finger on the trigger and pull back. And lay a punk motherfucker flat as he wonder what pop before he got popped. I told you I was Dre and you know it just stopped. Now I know you understand my flow. So here we go with death row. Come let a motherfucker know. I break some off, I break some off, yeah. I break some off, but I ain't speaking about between the thighs. I'm talking about cocking a gauge in between your eyes and make it drop to your knees cause you realize that it gotta make any nigga civilized. Old buster ass nigga talking bullshit. Don't know that I'm the wrong nigga to fuck with. Get lit or hit up by the doctor. A nigga that breaks them off properly, real G, so don't doubt it. I'm the one that's doing it while these other niggas talking about it. And if motherfuckers come at me wrong, I straight put my 44 Desert Eagle to his motherfucking dome and show him why they call me the Notorious One. The name is Trey Eastwood when I'm packing a gun. You don't believe me, well, step up and give it a try. And if you die, use a buster, cause real niggas don't die. But some still don't hear me though. You're too nimmy not to hear me, nigga, yo. So now you know.
Have you read the great literature, John?
I've read some great literature. Do you have anything specific in mind?
I'm just saying, like, you talk about your classics like the Shakespeare. When you're reading those great stories of literature, who are the people that are causing great pain to others? Is it a stranger who just walks in and says, I'm just going to screw up this person's life? No. It's always the brother, the uncle, the child.
Right.
The twin, something of this nature, right? So I think, look, if we're what do they say about history? If we're not going to learn from our classical history, what are we doing? The most dangerous element you have in your life are, after the T-shirt hoarders, it's probably family members.
Right.
You're going to want to be very careful about protecting your personal area from those people.
Yeah, well, luckily I don't have any children. I do have a wife, and she's quite small. Do you think it would be better to have her armed as well, or if I should just cut ties?
Well, I mean, look, you can't deny
like effect. A child. I think there's kickback with guns, and their tiny shoulders can't handle it. But
well, no, we have a line of kiddie weapons. If you have that level of trust for your children, it's hard to get that into them. It's hard to train that into them. We have manuals, but I would say it looks like you're not having any sort of sexual relations or anything of that nature at this time in your life. So I would just stay on that track. I think that's the safest way to go. I'm surprised to hear about the wife thing, but look, I think
do you have any good lady guns?
Oh, we've got lady guns, we've got children guns, we've got guns for grand. We got any protection device we can suit to the person for sure. We take into account height, age, sex, everything. Anything you want to be taken into account, we can take it into account. But I think on the lady front, look, if you trust the woman and she's a big part of your life, then yeah, I think you can find some fun, isn't her, protective. Yeah. As well, maybe something you can turn into a little bit of like, let's strengthen our relationship by strengthening our appearance in the local neighborhood.
Yeah, well, what's more bonding than killing your first intruder together?
Well, that is true. Now, I had a couple last week, very nice couple of people. Also, quite celibate, like I'm understanding for you. They had
I never mentioned that.
Called. On their, I'm just making assumptions, John. They had a crow's nest installed on the roof. Very tasteful, very elegant. First in the neighborhood to do that.
Like made out of twigs and newspapers?
Oh, no. This is, we had to remove from a World War II a destroyer that was recently salvaged from the Pacific Ocean. Beautiful. I mean, I love doing these sort of ancient, well, I don't want to say ancient, but, you know, classical restorations. Now, we put that crow's nest from a World War II PT boat destroyer. It was a mix of a class. That's why it was sunk. It was so new. Like, they didn't know what to do with it. Anyway, so they've got a his and her machine gun cannon on the top of that, where you sit like love seats. Do you know the French seats where you sit one person looking one way and the other person looking the other way?
No, but that sounds really interesting.
You know, the chairs that look like an S from the top and one person sitting and they're looking.
Okay, okay. All right.
Yeah. I think they're called a crazy love seat or something like that. Anyway, it's basically like that, except each seat also has a 40 caliber machine gun in front of it. Right. And it auto turns. And let me tell you, those kids spend all night in that thing. If I could turn it into a hot tub for them, I would. I think that would be beautiful, but that's, you know, I got to go back to the drawing board for that every time I get a new request.
Yeah, well, like as much of a waste of resources and all that your family is, having, that's literally having eyes on your back. So if you've got that.
There's no resource that you cannot bring to bear for that process, in my mind, John, in my mind.
Sure. And, you know, as I've said, you know, I'm a very virile person and, you know, the wife and I, we get into, but, you know, in the off chance that like it's not happening, like, you know, for other people, like, do you think maybe, you know, having a gun in my hand would make a person more, you know, sexually attractive to their partner?
I think if it's not, you're holding the wrong weapon. That's okay. What I think. The right weapon should feel, it should be at a great price point, it should be convenient, and it should come with a massive sense of psychological superiority. If it doesn't, my question is, where are you shopping? Are you shopping in bulk? Usually the people who are sensing that, I think they're buying their weaponry, their protection at the wrong places. I think they're putting price first, and I think they're not thinking about the process. I think they're not remembering that this is a process, a system. You have to be aware of the history. You have to be aware that it's like you can't just get one car for everyone, right? The cheapest car for everyone. Everyone's different. They like different things. And your choices should have positive impact. So if you're selecting a personal protective piece of equipment, it should give you a major sense of superiority. Yes, absolutely. That's what I would want to give to you, John.
Okay, so Like, what is the process if I decide to pull the trigger on this, as we say? Is there all kinds of red tape and hoops that I need to jump through?
As you know, I am off the grid in terms of official channels.
Sure.
For right now, so you will not be able to trace where this video signal is coming. That's why I call from my Hyundai.
Well, but just having a Hyundai based commerce is much more safe than having a brick and mortar store.
Protection needs to be mobile and it needs to get to people. But I like to put service first. So what you would do is you would light a candle in the basement window of your utility room. If you have a utility room window, that's fine. Or a rec room window. Do you have a basement, John?
Yeah, I'm in the basement right now. I've got a window that's about eye level with me here.
Take a candle, put it in that window. You will be contacted by my friend, Dirk Eaglesmith.
Okay.
Now, Dirk is an intermediary, and he will drop a package in your driveway. Now, the package could be in a brown paper bag. It could be in a cardboard box. Anyway, it will have pieced together instructions. So we'll write the instructions down and use magazines to clip out different words. Then you'll piece them together. That'll have directions on where to come. We have a nice, tasteful meetup that is off the grid. We size you up. We do a full. We have a questionnaire that we have every customer do, and then we go and we engineer, we design things, and within a 2-week, 3-week period, we've customized a personal defense apparatus just for you.
Yeah. So, what kind of questions are on this thing? Is it like a Facebook quiz? Like which Disney character are you? Only like which gun is right for you type thing?
It's not a Facebook quiz, but the question, what Disney character are you, is definitely on the list.
Okay.
That was a top 10. We also have a lot of questions that begin with, you're not going to believe what we found about this, but this. And also it's a lot of just general inputting. How are you today? How are you feeling? What do you like? When did you last kill someone? What's your social insurance number? Things of that nature. Anyway, it's 40.
You don't need it right now. Never mind.
I don't need it right now, but I do appreciate your honesty. I wouldn't have contacted you if I hadn't known that you were a good dealer, a good connection.
Yeah, well, our Eagle Dark Strike, our mutual friend. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons with him, and he put me in touch with you. And because you're not an easy man to track down.
92% of our clients are from the Dungeons and Dragons circuit. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of business in that. They have deep pockets and deep insecurities, and we find personal protection devices sell very well in that community. I'm happy to serve that very insecure community.
Yeah, well, while we were playing, we were trying to do it over Zoom, and it's kind of awkward. And I had made a comment about how
it's a very process to begin with.
Yeah.
Let alone adding the artificiality of online meetings to it. I mean, people can barely keep it together when they're in the room playing Dungeons and Dragons. They're all so lonely and sad and unable to create real human connection. And then you add the mechanics of I'm surprised a lot of them haven't taken out their personal equipment and used it on each other, because it's just the psychological problems run so deep in that community. But listen, that's another book that I'm writing right now on the massive issues of Dungeons and Dragons.
I was playing. I could see my neighbors and their kids out the window, and I got afraid. And I just kind of said, I wish I'd get a critical hit on their craniums. And
that's
Eagle,
right.
My boy, he was like, "Well, I know this guy Dare, and he might be able to help you out."
Well, it's Darius formally, but for you, my friend and potential customer, Dare.
All right. And well, I will.
To get a brown paper package in your driveway. There's going to be instructions in there.
Okay.
You're going to follow them. You're going to meet Mr. Eaglesmith as well.
Right.
We're going to do this questionnaire and get you set up with some personal protection devices that'll hopefully improve your life. Also, I'm aware of several early vaccines that I'm having brought in right now. This is completely off. Even the black markets don't know about these yet, but I'm bringing these in. I'm going to hopefully loop you in on that, John, and I think we should do a follow-up call after we fitted you and talk about some of the selections that we've come up with.
Yeah, just for example, like, should you have different guns? Because I'm trying to cover my bases here. It could be that the lockdown lasts indefinitely and people are going to be coming in. But
advice, generally, just assume the worst.
Yeah. Well, like, another option that I don't hear anybody talking about is the protection needed if they lift the lock. They're starting to ease off on the lockdown, but there's still a lot of people that are upset about people leaving the house. So, like, I want to not only protect myself at home if I choose to go out, I want to protect myself from these people that think that I'm spreading a pandemic.
John, you're absolutely right. This is why I live alone now, John, but the very first thing I would ask if someone that I live with is leaving the house, the first question is where are they going? The second question is, are they going to kill me? Right. And this is why I live alone, because I think life is easier without those questions. But I think you're absolutely right in asking them, because as we've learned, the people closest to you are likely to be the ones that are going to do you harm. Therefore, it's impossible to design protective solutions for you personally without taking into account the greatest danger in your life, that is your loved ones and close neighbors.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm feeling great about this, and like I said, this is a service that you're providing. You are an essential service, sir, and I want to thank you for your service.
I've been on the front line when I do fittings for weaponry. We use 6-inch plexiglass. I was using 6-inch plexiglass before people were even talking about using plexiglass.
Right.
So I mean, look, I'm like been there, done that.
All right. Well, I just thank you very much. Just for the sake of publicity, it's kind of hard to get a hold of you. Would you suggest that people just ask their Dungeons and Dragons fellow players? Or
that is usually the best place to find any of us who work in the illegal arms business. Start with your local Dungeons and Dragons group. Just roll a 20 and then ask, hey, I was looking for some personal protection. If a person walks out of the shadows and their name is Dirk Eaglestrike,
right,
or any variation of a name with the word eagle in it,
right,
they probably have connection to me. I know I have 5 friends with the name Eagle as part of the name.
Yeah, I've got 2 or 3 other friends with Eagle in their names, and I never thought that they were a good connection to the dark web, but I will now.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all connected. Eagle, that's a known thing. Okay. All right, Johnny. I got someone hooting at me here behind the Hyundai, so I'm going to be in touch with you. We're going to do a fitting, and we're going to follow up on this, yes?
Yeah, I'll get that candle up in my window ASAP.
Yeah. Scented if you want it rushed.
Okay, all right. That's like the Amazon Prime version, a scented candle. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, Dirk loves that. He smells it before he sees it.
He can, he seems like a very capable guy. He can smell right through glass.
He can smell through walls. Oh, no, that is...
Oh, not just glass, just all surfaces. Okay.
I'll tell you what, if things go well, we should have him in on the chat, and we'll do a chat with Dirk.
Okay.
Sound good?
It sounds great. I'm feeling safer already.
You will be, my friend. You will be.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, listen, live in fear. It's the best way to take care of yourself.
Fair enough. Well, that has been another St. John Forward Radio. I would like to thank Dare for giving me some good information on how to protect myself and my family. And I'd also like to thank you all for tuning in to another episode every Monday night. It's in various places. It'll change depending on what's happening pandemic-wise. But johnforward.com is the default for all your John Forward needs.